though wise men at their end, no dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Hey guys, this is episode 27 of the Midcasters. I'm your co-host, Jalen, always joined by the amazing Craig. Craig, how are you today?
Mentally, I am phenomenal. Physically, I'm drained, but I'm excited that we're back in time for May the 4th, which means what?
May the 4th be with you. But that kind of leads us into our beginning topics. Since we had Star Wars Celebration in Japan this year, it will be in Los Angeles in 2027, and I will be saving for that. So TBD on that situation. But we got some news that I think might be good, and then some news that I think, let's scrap it. Starting with the news, Taika Waititi's film is still going forward. Like, I told everybody that I've ever known that it was still moving forward. So all you doubters can shut up because he's an Oscar winner. Then we have Sean Levy, he will be directing Ryan Gosling. Yes, Ryan Gosling, the rumors are true. He will be in a standalone film written and directed by Sean Levy, which I think just get rid of the director altogether because we don't need that. But I'm excited for Ryan Gosling. And then we have had our first looks at The Mandalorian and Grogu with Sigourney Weaver as a rebellion pilot. And they actually built an AT-AT, which I love. So what are your thoughts on some of the news that are coming forward? Oh, and Darth Maul. We're getting a Darth Maul show, finally. But it's animated, which sucks, because I would love a live-action one. But better late than never. What are your thoughts?
The Mandalorian is still on my list. I need to watch that before the new season comes out. And I'm currently at the tail end of Andor. And I know that season 2 just began like a few weeks ago, but I do not want to be stuck behind. I want to catch up as quickly as I can and try to retain as much information as possible, because the longer I put it off, the more I forget.
We do get more Bix in season 2 for Bix fans, and because we all love her in every other film that she's in.
She, you know, for when I first saw her, I was like, wait a minute, is this Isla Gonzalez? Because they look just alike.
She's a badass in this one. They're on Coruscant now, which I would live in Coruscant. I'm not going to lie. It just seems like a fun place. Like, the madness of the city is what hides them in the city.
Right.
Then you have a Skarsgård in it, because, like, who doesn't love that? And then we got some familiar faces from Rogue One. Saul Guerrera. We're going to get the droid from Rogue One. His name is eluding me right now. I don't know where B is, the droid, but he needs to come back. They need to, like, wherever he is, he needs to be with them. Because, like, he's, like, their friend. He's their bestie. He's their pet. He lives his life. He freaks out if you move his charging pad. Like, I love that.
Rogue One is my favorite Star Wars film. I absolutely freaking love it. And I just love how it takes it. It doesn't focus too much on the other characters that we're used to seeing all the time. Like, you know, the Obi-Wans and the Darth Vaders, more of the unsung hero, so to speak.
Building off onto a story that's all its own, which kind of transitioned into Andor, which has made it the best show that Disney Plus has ever made. But that's just my opinion. I know people might not agree with that, but I like it. I think it offers just something different. And the fact that it's all like 12 episodes each just makes me happy.
So far, I think it's, I mean, not, I haven't seen Mandalorian. So, I mean, I know that's a lot of people's favorite. But I did really enjoy Ahsoka. Ahsoka was definitely a game changer in terms of how people viewed Anakin when she was created for the Clone Wars series, and putting her into the canon events of the overall Star Wars franchise, I think helped it a lot.
They started filming season two after, I think, 2 weeks ago. So I'm excited for that, and that we get to see Anakin return once again.
Yeah. And a lot of people were, a lot of people actually want like a live action Clone Wars TV series of Anakin and a young Ahsoka. And I'm not mad at that. I would actually be very interested in seeing that.
Well, it's weird because technically in episode three, she's nowhere to be seen, but then they do their own thing. And so I'm like, okay, well, how would they kind of put that in, you know?
Right.
Like, did he lose her? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how that would all work since we have episode three, but I'll let Ahsoka do the telling of that. I'm sure they'll find a way to kind of let us know. I wish it was a longer season, like 12 episodes, but I get time constraints, visual effects constraints, budget constraints, whereas Andor, they can do a lot more with a lot less because it's more of a street level story thus far.
Yeah.
And The Mandalorian is not. Still, I'm still upset that they haven't recasted Skywalker, because I'm saying Sebastian Stan looks just like him.
I mean, maybe we could start a petition.
I would like to start a petition. I think Sebastian Stan is well aware he looks like him, and I think he's like, I'm right here, guys. Like, I can do it. So I think that would be funny to do. I'm not excited for the Sean Levy movie just because I don't like Sean Levy. I think he's a horrible director, horrible writer, on top of his, you know, his antics with the He Who Shall Not Be Named. Because Deadpool and Wolverine is absolute garbage, in my opinion. But I'm excited for the Mandalorian movie because we get some more Sigourney Weaver. So I was kind of interested to see what she would do, but it does look like she's a rebellion pilot. So that makes me excited.
Yeah.
What else came out? Well, we have the Darth Maul series that's coming out. I'm kind of upset that we don't get it live action. I feel like it would do better in live action. But I also understand why we can't have it in live action. I also would like a Starkiller show in live action, which I know we probably won't ever get. So, dare to dream.
Well, I think that the reason why it's animated is because animated, you can pretty much do anything. You don't really have to rely on certain constraints.
I know, but just imagine it in live action, though. How cool that would be.
I mean, other than, you know, his appearance in, I don't just really know.
Because cartoons are traditionally made for the younger audience, whereas live action can kind of be more on the rated R spectrum.
Right.
That's how I kind of see it, because I feel like he's more of a rated R character.
I don't really know too much about him.
Exactly. He's mysterious, and I love him in Justice for Darth Maul because I love that character so much. But I feel like a lot of us love him, and a lot of us would say that he's our favorite kind of Darth Jedi, other than Anakin, obviously. But I'm excited for that. I love that they do Star Wars Celebration, and they mix it up every few years. It's just something special with Star Wars, whereas Marvel, you don't kind of get that specialness.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like all over the place, and you don't really have the same type of fandom, if that makes sense. Like, people love Star Wars, but people like Marvel, if that makes sense. Like, I love Marvel. It's its own thing. And speaking of Marvel, we have the Thunderbolts that came out this week. I have some griefs with it just because people are already comparing Yelena to Natasha and saying Natasha sucks. And I'm like, but people have to remember that Natasha came out when it was hypersexualized. It was a man environment and she walked so all of them could run.
I will say compared to, I do think that Yelena, in my opinion, is definitely a better Black Widow, but
White Widow. She's White Widow, not Black Widow. There's only one Black Widow.
Okay, let me rephrase. I think Yelena is a better written female protagonist. However, I think that's mainly because they didn't know how to write for, I mean, other than, of course, Scarlett Johansson's very beautiful, but other than that, they didn't know how to utilize her acting ability to tell good stories, because she is one of the best actors in Hollywood.
I think they could utilize it, because like they could have done an Ethan Hunt type of trilogy with her, just spy stuff with her. They could have had her with Bucky, kind of laid into that comments. I mean, even Sebastian Stan wanted to do that storyline, but they didn't do that. And I always think about the executive, and I don't know who the executive was at Marvel. Like, who wants a solo Black Widow movie? Well, I do. Thousands of people do. Hundreds of thousands of people do. Maybe millions do. But you gave it to us too late. While I still love it and enjoy it, there was still so much to explore with that character. And I don't feel like her story was done, and I don't feel like the Russos knew what to do. So they were like, kill. It was like the Hulk. We don't know what to do with him, so we're going to nerf him.
Right.
Not I feel only like that, they're going to do the same with the Thunderbolts.
Hell, not only that, but I feel like, I mean, the movie came out like we were asking for that movie like years ago, but that
put it beneath Kevin Feige. I get a vibe that he kind of is like that. And I'm like, did you really fight for her? You're the head of Marvel. So, well, I'm just saying, they screwed her over and tried to steal money from her movie. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just glad.
Coincidences.
Whoever that dude was that said that, because I've read about him. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I'm glad they kicked him to the curb. But I think Black Widow should have came out maybe somewhere between Winter Soldier and Civil War.
I think an intro after Iron Man 2, so like an origin story, okay? And then you have something after Captain America, Civil War, or not Civil War, the Winter Soldier, and before Age of Ultron, so like her trying to find Bucky or something like that. And then you have the third one, which kind of wraps it up. She takes down the Red Room. Then you have Yelena kind of insert in there. And I like that she's her sister, but I also don't like that because their stories are two different things. Like, she joins the Red Room willingly, whereas Natasha's born into it. And I don't like how they killed off Anya so early on in the movie, because she's a really good Widow character as well. I'm upset by that. That's the girl that Yelena kills in the movie.
Yeah, I have to go back and rewatch Black Widow. It's been a while, but I don't like how when they do that, I feel like it's taking away potential stories that you could tell with those characters in the future.
Yeah, I feel like a third movie, like introducing her, Anya, Milena, and all of those widows, and Antonia, because she's a really good widow, in my opinion. Like, she is what he made her, and I'm pissed that they killed her off. I'm not delusional. I still don't think she's, like, dead, because, like, that mask she was wearing, like, I don't know, something tells me that was a different type of mask that, like, kind of absorbs the blow and is kind of like a flesh wound type of thing, and she's a widow, so obviously she knows how to escape. Because, like, why would you include her in all that marketing just to do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. There's something more to it, in my opinion. Plus, she's a spy, so.
Well, speaking of that, Thunderbolts, I mean, what they did to Taskmaster. Oh.
I don't think she's dead. I don't. And I'm not being delusional. Like, I'm being very sincere. I don't think she's dead. Like, that mask she wears, I think, could have absorbed the blow. Because that looks like a special kind of mask that she's wearing that she's able to take on and off. So grazes her head, obviously pretends to be dead because she's a spy. She's super smart. like, she's Dracov's daughter, obviously. So, like, she's had the best of the best training, and she's able to mimic every single person she fights.
Well, I really hope that's true, because if it's not, I'm gonna have some problems.
Yeah, and I kind of feel bad for the actress Olga, because, like, she gave her all in that movie. She's given her all as the character, and I was like, why is she not really posting on her social medias? Why is she not talking about it? She only went to the one premiere. She doesn't follow any of the cast and crew, and they don't follow her. So I'm like, something is not right here.
And God, what's the Geraldine was Wandathan. Geraldine was Wandathan. I've had since Blockers, I've had like a big crush on her, but her being relegated to just like an assistant, I was just like, ugh.
She's God. Supposed to be Songbird, allegedly. And I'm also kind of confused. Like, there could have been an opportunity for them to add Bob's wife into the movie, but I'm also not hating the idea of him being with Yelena. I don't care what comics say, guys. I don't. I'm shipping them, whether it be friends or more than friends. I don't care, because she's there for him, and he's seen the worst of worse with her, so...
So far, I think the Thunderbolts, other than, you know, in a very underdeveloped villain and
Geraldine. Madam Hydra.
No,
I don't think that's what she's called. She's just Valentina. Everybody her name. It's so funny.
But it's funny you say that, because what she called Red Guardian, what'd she call him?
Old Santa. Well, because he wasn't really in, like, he was more in, like, the 50s or, like, the 40s or something like that. And they kind of phased him out, so, like, obviously people forgot about him.
Or, it wasn't him. I think somebody called John Walker, like a Walmart version of Captain America, something like that.
Oh, you mean John Walker?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she called him Junior Varsity Captain America.
Oh, right.
Honestly, well, she needs to put more respect on John Walker's name. I was never a John Walker hater. I just think he was the perfect soldier, also the perfect man. And I think he was the perfect specimen to be Captain America. And he literally did everything that was asked of him. He lived his life by their mandates. He did everything that he was told to do. The terrorist killed his friend. He killed the dude. The dude's a terrorist. So we're just not going to kill terrorists who are killing people? Cool. Got it. Like, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but didn't he murder the wrong person?
I mean, that guy was a terrorist. So he killed people. So that's one less super soldier and terrorist to worry about.
Yeah.
Terrorist was going to continue on the mission regardless of what was going to happen.
But watching him get mollywopped by the tribe from Wakanda.
I mean, any of them could do that.
I mean, that was just utterly hilarious.
I still like John Walker. I think there's just a lot more to explore with his story. And I think Yelena gets that, Ava gets that. And he doesn't feel like alone. He doesn't feel like he's the bad guy anymore. He doesn't feel like he is just someone who fell from the top of the top. And it made me sad for him, because he did lose his wife. He did lose his kid. But he also lost his friend. He lost his job. He lost everything he's ever worked for and everything that was expected of him.
But him being called Varsity Captain America, that's funny considering that villains. That's funny in... considering that, you know, how they portray the villains in this film is like Varsity Hydra.
I just thought that was funny. I hate that they've kind of, okay, I might get slack for this. They nerfed Bucky a little bit, but I think Bucky and the Winter Soldier are two different people, and he doesn't want to hurt people, but he also knows what he has to do. So maybe one of those days the Winter Soldier comes back out. Not like one that he can't control or something, but like where he's actually full on Winter Soldier mode, doesn't care, and he's kind of accepted that and he's not fighting that anymore. And I think right now he's just been fighting that.
Yeah, it's funny because every time they turn a villain good, they always do that. It's kind of like when you're playing a video game, you fight the strongest character, you finally unlock him, and then he's useless when you play as him.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to blame the Russo brothers for that, because I already know they're probably going to water down a lot of the Thunderbolt characters, and we'll probably see them die very easily. And I would assume that Yelena meets the same fate as Natasha. Maybe not on a cliff, but somewhere, some parallel of it, she'll probably face that. And she'll probably be on something with Bob or Ava, and then having to go through that. And at this point, they'll be like friends or really close. And for the love of the Lord, I don't want Winter Widow with him and Yelena. That's brother and sister.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Yeah, I can't do Winter Widow. I know I say that all the time, but I'm like, I'm standing on business with that. They didn't really have a lot of scenes to begin with, and I was a little upset we didn't get to see all their shame rooms, because I feel like that would have been a really good opportunity to see all the characters. I mean, like, I know we've seen them in the past. We've seen how Ava has kind of struggled. Obviously, we see how Bucky struggles. We see how all that struggles. I mean, we could have saw more of Bob, but only so little time.
I mean, I've had enough of.
I thought it was funny though. They're like Bob, and they're like, yes, Bob. But the one thing I did love, Yelena and Ava always make sure to put John and each other in their place. She's like, Ava, you're not even a hero. You're not even a good person. She's like, bitch.
Yeah, it felt like. The best way I can describe Thunderbolts is basically a group of misfits attending therapy session.
It was the power of friendship that truly saved them. The metaphor was really beautiful, and I think they did the void in a really beautiful way, in a way that only PG-13 would allow them, obviously, because he's going to be fighting that void for the rest of his life, and I feel like the next time we see him, that the Russos are going to nerf him to, like, what they did with Vision and kill him so easily.
It's funny because I thought that the void was sort of, I might be digging into deep to this, but I thought the void was a metaphor for him, basically, you know, his like trauma and depression taking over and him wanting to like not be alive anymore.
Well, Sentry and the Void are like, and Bob are three different people. So, like, Bob can be Sentry, but if he gets to a point where, like, the darkness kind of creeps in because it does overwhelm him because you can only control it so much, then the void will take over. And then okay. The void is something that can't be stopped as well. But, I mean, Sentry can't be stopped because, like, if you've seen when he gets electrocuted or he's, like, trying to be taken out, it starts to take over him. Because right. He's lost control at that point. Because, like, he doesn't have, like, it's kind of like Jean Grey. Like, she doesn't really have control over it. And there is a point to where she can become something completely different, like the Phoenix. Whereas you have, like, Jean Grey who can control the majority of it. Well, maybe not the majority, but, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because, like, the only time she's, like, lost control, like, Logan had to kill her. It's kind of like that. That's how I see it. Like, Wanda, she can control it no matter what because she's learned that. She needs to meet Bob. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be best friends. I don't know, like, if they could help her control it or if she could help him control it, but I feel like knowing that you're not alone, I think, would give her, like, a sense of, like, comfort. And she's been alone. Nobody checked on her. The only one that seemed to really care about her was Monica, and that was it. Whereas right. Bob has a whole team that cares about him, and that's sad. But Bob is very dangerous if he lets the Void take over, and so if we get this version of Bob / Sentry / the Void, Dr. Doom is dead within the first 5 minutes.
I would love to see that.
But yeah, my hope is they don't nerf him. But I feel like they will. I mean, they already have like playing cards where they, what do they say that it had like their pay on there and what their name is or something like that. Or just, I think it was like more like what their paycheck is.
Yeah. Something like that.
I feel like that was weird. I'm like, no, that shouldn't matter. Like, I'm sure Scarlett got paid the second most out of Endgame. It just seems like it's common sense to me, but yet they killed her so easily. Like, I don't really think that matters. I just think they need to put a good story together, and I don't think they're equipped enough to do that. Especially now with their comments about AI. Ugh. And they're not going to bring Wanda back. I don't see it. I think they're just going to let her be. And that's sad because they don't know what to do with her.
Yeah, I think that's over and done with.
Yeah, I think the only one that knew what to do with her was the creator of WandaVision and Jack Schaefer. Only two people that understood her.
That's still one of the best shows.
It really is. And I feel like it holds up really well, gets a lot of acclaim from Marvel stars. And one thing I like about this new Marvel cast that we got is how supportive they are of each other. Like, Pedro Pascal was like, go fucking see this movie. He went to the premiere. You have like other people coming to the premiere. You had Danny Ramirez, who plays the Falcon now, like hyping it up. Like, before that, we did not get that. We did not see Robert Downey Jr. posting about, I don't know, Thor. Like, you weren't going to see that.
Right.
But yeah, I like that now. But I also kind of don't like that they kind of spoiled it, but I think they did that on purpose. And I hate how many scenes have already made its way onto the internet, and I'm like, it's only been 3 days. And even when it was just the one showing that they had 2 weeks ago, I'm like, ugh. I already know it's going to get spoiled.
That's exactly why I stay off of X. I mean, damn it, Twitter.
Twitter. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I think I remember the one where he's, like, coming in. John's wearing his beret, which I'm pretty sure Yelena bullied him into. Or said, no, Bob, it looks, or you know, John looks really good. So he just wears that with his taco shield when he knows Bucky can get him a new shield, or like Bob can just fix it. But then you see obviously the Fantastic Four come in, and I'm like, oh, I think this is gonna obviously tells us they lose in the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah. Because
if you're not losing against Galactus, then there's something seriously wrong with your movie. Or yeah, I think it probably just like picks up where that ends, and it picks up right at the beginning of Doomsday.
I'll pass on that.
The new Avengers, which I'm excited for. And it kind of, I don't know, kind of pissed. Like, Sam, just join the team. Like, we're going to need all the help we can get. We're not going to do the Civil War thing. Just join us all together. Like, you don't need to be the leader of the group. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you knew the Sokovia Accords were going to keep going. So you're just going to have to accept it, or we're going to have a Civil War too.
Right.
But yeah. What are your thoughts about Sam being upset about Bucky?
The Avengers team. I really don't hope it leads down to Civil War 2. I don't want that. I don't want to see it. I'm good.
I mean, technically, Cap was supposed to die in Civil War if they followed the comics. But he did not, which, whatever. Let it be. I mean, yeah. I think Sam just needs to come to terms with it. I think he's upset that he's not like the leader of the team. But I'm like, at the end of the day, he was never going to be the leader of the team. It's all one team. Like, just because you're Cap doesn't automatically make you the leader. I would even argue that Natasha was the leader of the team because she was the only one there holding everybody together when everybody left, and she was holding the compound together.
Yeah, sounds like you might need to join among the Thunderbolts when it comes to therapy sessions.
I probably would join the Thunderbolts or New Avengers. Nah, that's why we're Avengers with a Z. I'm kind of glad though Ava's in it. She went from misunderstood to semi-villain. I didn't really consider a villain in the show or in the movie, but what's funny is that like Wasp was originally supposed to be included in the first Avengers movies, and I'm like, this is kind of cool that they're doing this.
Yeah, I would have preferred Ant-Man and starting Ant-Man with Hank Pym instead of Scott.
Honestly, I don't know why they did that. I couldn't tell you why they aged him up, the actual Ant-Man. And so he was never really in the suit or anything like that. So that was kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
like, because same with Wasp too. I was like, technically those two should have been like younger and on the team. So I'm like, why didn't they just make them Hank Pym? I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah, my guess is, well, because the original Avengers lineup is what we saw in the movie plus Hank Pym and Wasp.
Yeah.
But my prediction, my guess as to why they did that is because there's a comic where Hank hit Wasp, but it's because it's a whole story behind it, but a lot of fans were calling him a wife beater since that comic, and a lot of people need to read the story for context. He didn't do it on purpose. He was basically basically went mentally insane when he became Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the whole story. I was like, there were so many opportunities there for them to do that. I mean, I still don't think Ant-Man needed three fucking movies, but I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
And plus, Kang got beat by a bunch of ants. That's funny to me.
That's the lamest thing ever.
He got beat by a bunch of ants. I would have loved to have seen like a credit scene of him just flipping out that he got beaten by a bunch of fucking ants.
Please not remind me.
Oh gosh, that's funny. You know what's funny is I kind of hope that we see Kate Bishop join the new Avengers teams because of that whole sequence where she's like, what does the word Avengers even mean? And she's like, guess who's on the team now? Because Kate's tech, I think, too old to be on the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
I think she needs to just be either it's the West Coast Avengers or it's nothing.
Yeah, unless she's like the leader or the mentor. But
yeah, there's a lot going on. I feel like they're just gonna fuck up the next two Avengers movies. That's just my opinion on that. They're rushing it. That's like, you guys are rushing it. Calm down.
Almost definitely.
We'll see how it goes though. But we're gonna end on some positive notes because I know you saw The Sinners multiple times and I saw it at least once, and I don't watch horror movies. I absolutely love it, but I wanted to smack the shit out of Hailee Steinfeld. I'm like, girl, why are you going outside by yourself?
Right.
What are your thoughts on the movie?
I absolutely loved it. One of my favorite movies of the year thus far. And it will remain number one. It replaced Creed in my top 30 favorite films of all time. I think it's Ryan Coogler's best so far. I think it's Michael B. Jordan's best performance, and hearing the cinematographer talk about how they were able to capture the shot in the beginning of the film with the twins. I just love hearing how certain things like that are created, and then just the difficulty of, you know, making something seem so simple very difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a really good original horror film, and I think it just goes to show that we need to support original films in general. Give them the mid-budgets, give them the higher budgets if needed. But clearly, they're able to do it. And Warner Brothers has been taking significant chances on that, especially with this, with Barbie, and it makes me happy to see it.
Yeah, and the problem is that I hate when people complain about no original films, because those people that complain about no original films are only watching superhero films, sequels, remakes, and prequels and reboots.
But it also makes it harder when those movies are not in theaters for a long period of time, or it's only in 50 theaters. I mean, like what, Jury? What was it called? The Jury or Jury Duty or whatever it was called. That was directed by Clint Eastwood. I think that was only like 50 theaters nationwide.
Right.
So you have to wait for it to come out. And then by that time, you've kind of already forgotten. Or like The Assessment with Elizabeth Olsen. Like that was in theaters for like 1 week. And they move on. Same with A24. They move on real quick. And it's just hard to see those movies.
Right. And
like we can't support it if we can't go see it.
Right. Like I think, let's see, I'm counting right now. And I think more than, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe about 10 or 12 films that came out last year were in my top 20 that had original ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were sequels or like remakes. Like my number one of last year was Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
In my top 20, I had Bike Riders. Mm-hmm. I had Your Monster. I had It's What's Inside. I saw the TV glow. Mm-hmm. The Substance.
Yeah. I think there just needs to be a better platform, more budgeting, and more chances from these bigger studios, because the only way these originals can make it into the theaters if bigger studios start taking a chance. And just the additional funding for like things like A24, Neon, all of those other types of indie companies. I just think there just needs to be better opportunities for them.
It's a good thing you brought that up, because I think those are the only two studios that are doing anything original and taking mm-hmm. chances is A24 and Neon.
A24 is kind of up their level, because like we saw Warfare and that was an IMAX, and I don't remember the last IMAX movie for A24 I've ever seen, other than Civil War maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Think of it.
And I think that these, I think they're probably doing what Wes Anderson does. If you get all these people's names in, like all these big names, and they take the lower cuts and it turns into a bigger profit for them. Also, it helps when the director is friends with them.
Yeah.
So, and I like that the studios are taking chances on him over and over again, because he does produce over and over again. And then it's just like a type of movie that you don't normally see. Yeah, also, go see the Phoenician Scheme, guys, when that comes out, because that's going to be a good movie.
Wait, which one?
The Phoenician Scheme.
Well, I don't think I've heard of that.
You haven't heard of that? Oh my gosh.
Wait, who stars in it?
So many people. It's the main cast, obviously. It's the dude. Oh my gosh, I always mix him up with the one that's married to Penelope Cruz. I can't remember his name now. But he is just like this billionaire, and he just keeps getting into plane accidents, and people keep trying to kill him. And so he decides to leave all of his money to his daughter that he doesn't really talk to. She's essentially a nun. And she goes, why me? And he goes, well, I'm not telling you my reasons. But Scarlett Johansson's in it, Bryan Cranston, Tom Hanks, Michael Cera. Like, you got all the normal people in it.
Okay, I'm going to look that up right now.
I don't know if it will be an IMAX. I doubt it will. But I'm hearing good things about it. But I like those types of movies where they're coming like, yeah, that's my friend, so I'm going to take a $20,000 a week cut or $20,000 a week paycheck just to do this because I care about what I'm making.
Holy crap. Oh, my God.
You got to watch his movies. They're really good.
The cast looks amazing. Jeffrey Wright, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, William Dafoe.
You got to watch his last movie, Asteroid City.
Yeah, I saw that once, and that wasn't really my cup of tea.
So funny. I think my favorite movie of his would be Isle of Dogs, and it's the one from the 90s. Now, I can't remember it. It was the one where he's on campus. It starts with an R. Oh, my gosh. I've already forgotten.
Rushmore.
Yeah, I really love Rushmore. But yeah, that and Asteroid City, and then Grand Budapest Hotel is probably my favorites.
I don't know what it is about his I mean, I respect his style of work, but it just doesn't connect with me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not for everybody, and he just does a different style of filmmaking that you don't see anybody ever do. So it's just something to appreciate. But yeah.
But since you suggested it, I'm going to, have they already released like a teaser trailer?
Yeah, they got a trailer out, and I think it comes out in June, right before Jurassic World Rebirth comes out.
May 30th.
Yeah, that's the thing with his movies. They don't do like super hype marketing, but it will be premiering at Cannes Film Festival.
Okay, I will watch it.
But yeah, I think you'll like it. But yeah, that was episode 27 of the Midcasters today. I know we talked more about Marvel and Star Wars than we traditionally do. Maybe not. but we hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I'm your co-host, Jalen, and as always, you can find me on themidcasters.com. And Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, you can find me at CraigJr97, but YouTube is All Nerd Everything.
Awesome. And that was episode 27 of the Midcasters this week, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Have a great day.
I am Optimus Prime.
When I came to you with those calculations, we thought we might start a chain reaction that would destroy the entire world.
I remember it well. What of it?
I believe we did.